Todd Furman is intriguing. He's in Vegas. Todd, did Slay wake up and do the podcast this morning?
Slay not only woke up, Brent, he brought the A game. So clearly he was brimming with a little bit of guilt for not being able to understand the difference between AM and PM last week. But my man brought the heat today, an outstanding segment talking about all things SEC. Told a couple of good stories as well, and the feedback has been pouring in all of the positive variety. So thank you, Slay, for taking time out of your morning and putting the pancakes to the side at least for a few minutes.
Yeah, so he interrupted me, him and Payne, while I was eating my pancakes, and y'all know how I feel about my pancakes. So,
well,
yeah.
I mean, you know, the one thing I found out, though, Brent, you learn things about people that you've talked with for an extended period of time. Slay wasn't eating the old buttermilk pancakes and all of that. It was keto syrup. It was protein pancakes. Yeah. The man is on a mission to continue his quest to get himself back in playing shape and rattle off that 4.6 or 4.7 he promised us about 8-9 years ago, whatever
pancakes
it was.
Pancakes are sneaky, like good, where you can get the protein pancakes, and that's a great energy source.
It's serious.
For sure.
Yeah. There's a lot of good ones out there. I mean, Kodiak cakes, some other ones. I mean, you gotta try and mix it up and take full advantage here. I mean, you don't keep my pool physique by shoving your gullet full of the good old buttermilk variety.
Dude, you left Vegas pool season a long time ago, bro.
There's no doubt. I age myself out, and it's a sobering reality when I walk around and realize some of the kids that are coming to Vegas are young enough to be my kids if I was a teen parent. That was the most sobering reality for me.
All right, you're an MTV show now.
yeah.
At Todd Furman, Bet the Board podcast. Todd Furman, Pain Insider, and Ron Slade this week. When does it drop? About the you're talking about the Sweet 16, I guess.
Yeah, it's already up. We dropped it this morning, about 2 hours after we finished recording. So we broke down the three SEC games in great detail with Slay. He talked about his beloved Volunteers and how it's going to be a massive disappointment if they don't win the national championship. Me, of course, paraphrasing, not necessarily speaking in reality. And we covered the other five games the way Payne and I always do. So all eight games broken down side and total.
All right, so what do you think about, let's start there, Tennessee and Florida Atlantic. What do you think?
You know, when you look at this game and try and figure out some of the capabilities there, I just think Tennessee is too big, too physical, and too veteran-laden to lose this game. Numbers-wise, I think it's a fair reflection just because I don't feel comfortable laying points with Tennessee against an opponent that could get hot from the outside and has some proficiency to be able to make the deep ball. We know Tennessee plays one style, and that style has been extremely successful for him. It was on full display last week against Duke, where they were undervalued in the betting market, being bet from a pick 'em out to a 3.5-point dog. I like the game under the total, especially early on. I think it can be difficult for these teams to adjust to that shooting venue, and I don't think FAU in the first 20 minutes is going to be ready to rumble with Tennessee. So I like the first half under there if I'm making a bet in that game.
Your boy Alan Bell said the same thing yesterday.
Sure did. And he gave you a whole lot of love. We had to tell him, don't talk about Todd Father like that, man. He don't deserve that much.
he said you're the best in the business.
Yeah. I appreciate that. It's good to know that the checks I'm sending Alan each week, he's cashing and able to put some food on the table. So, Alan, if you're out there listening, buddy, I appreciate the love.
I'm sure he is. All right, let's stay in the SEC. Arkansas and UConn. Man, UConn a favorite now to get to the Final Four. What do you think about it?
I think this is one of the toughest games to try and assess when you're looking at all eight Sweet 16 matchups here. We did see a little bit of money come in initially on Arkansas, taking it down to 3.5. But earlier today, a very influential betting group came in with support for UConn, and they took that number from 3.5 up to 4 where we currently sit. Haven't seen a lot of movement on the total. That number sits at 140, but Slate broke it down perfectly. It's a question of what Arkansas is going to get from Nick Smith. If they get the player that they had against Kansas, who only logged 16 minutes, not going to be enough to get it done. They're going to need their big bodies to try and slow down Sonogo on the inside. And for all the love that the Arkansas fan base shows me over the last couple of years since I said Chris Beard was going to coach circles around Coach Musselman, I think Arkansas is built to try and win this game again as a 4-point underdog and move on to yet another Elite Eight to take on the winner of UCLA Gonzaga.
Like that.
Speaking of that matchup, what about that? UCLA, the 2-seed, Gonzaga, the 3-seed, UCLA by 1.5.
A little bit of money earlier today has come in on the Zags, 2 down to 1.5. And I think the biggest storyline here to follow when you're trying to figure out a handicapping angle will be the health of Singleton. If UCLA had Jalen Clark out there, there's no doubt in my mind that they could have made a case to be a 1 seed and would have been my pick to come out of the region. I just wonder about the lack of depth. If Singleton re-aggravates the ankle injury, it could cause some big problems. But when you look at Gonzaga, for all the things this team does well on the offensive end, they leave a lot to be desired defensively. And it won't be lost for Mick Cronin and some of the guys that are still on the roster from that Final Four loss where they came up just short, 93-90, to try and get a little bit of revenge here. If the number continues to leak down, for me, it's UCLA or pass. Interesting, though, when you look at this total at 146, it suggests more that it'll be played at UCLA's pace and tempo. And when you look at Gonzaga, the teams that have given them problems this year, St. Mary's, they operate in the half court. Loyola Marymount, they operate in the half court. And there's a couple others on their schedule. I just think UCLA is too physical. And if they can neutralize Drew Timmy even a little bit, Gonzaga doesn't have enough depth scoring.
When we're talking about betting and you're looking at locks, there are no locks. But if you
there
were...
we go, Slick. Hey, it took how long? Mark this day down. It is 2:37 out here on the West Coast. 4:37 Central Time, March 22nd, 2023. Slay finally admitted after becoming a board member, there's no such thing as a lock in sports betting. It's all come full circle, and I should call us a walk-off and pull a Costanza and just shut this segment down before it gets off the rails.
Pull a Costanza.
Hey, man. So once you get on the board, man, you know, you look at things a little bit differently. But let me say this. If you were going to bet on someone, Preston Magic run out in this Creighton matchup.
Let's see. Something different for dinner. Searching restaurants near me.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Gee, same old, same old.
Wait, we're right here, ma'am. Our restaurant's just a few blocks from you. Why is she not seeing us?
Back to the usual, I guess.
Ma'am, can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local restaurants. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at CumulusBoost.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Yeah, you know, I look at this one, and I think what's interesting about Creighton, Slay, is that they're so good defensively, and that doesn't get talked about enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was always one of the knocks about Greg McDermott coach teams. They weren't tough enough defensively. They could score with the best teams, but when they stepped up in class, it was why they had such futility in the NCAA tournament. But from a defensive efficiency standpoint, I mean, this team is underseeded as a six. You look at the struggles they had early on in Big East play, and if you take out, you know, that 5 or 6 game sample size where they were dealing with some injuries, they could have been a 2 or 3 seed and probably much more deserving of the resume profile than a team like Xavier from their own conference. Numbers a little bit rich, though. You're not stealing anything. Mm-hmm. The price has been bet from 9 to 10, and you're looking at this being the most public underdog here with the Princeton Tigers. Again, I think Creighton going to be very comfortable to play in the half court. I think Princeton will struggle, and this could take a little bit of a feeling out process. So I like this game under the total early. I'd lean ever so slightly towards Creighton, but might be more inclined to look for a live number if I could get the Blue Jays somewhere around minus 7.
Yeah, because 9.5 is a lot. But I love that Creighton team, too.
Brandon Miller and the Alabama Crimson Tide in San Diego State.
They get the Aztecs, and the Aztecs are going to find this game as a little bit of a jolt to the system. We're not talking about playing College of Charleston or my namesake in Furman like they had a dispatch in the round of 32. Alabama defensively, again, I mean, going to make it difficult for an Aztec team that doesn't have a lot of individual shot creators. I mean, Matthew Bradley, probably the best guy on the floor there. But they don't deal with SEC athletes on a game-in, game-out basis. And when you look at San Diego State's dominance in the Mountain West, a lot of that becomes just because they recruit a different caliber of dude. They defend tenaciously. They contest shots. And I understand why a lot of people are trying to make a case for the underdog here, but this number is big for a reason. And the fact that I can get Alabama almost feels like a discount at 7, 7.5, knowing that they shot the ball so poorly last week against Maryland, a semblance of positive regression here. I think they can run away and hide and win this game by double digits.
Wow.
Is there another game you like that we haven't hit on?
Didn't we hit on all eight, or at least I think we got close? No, Michigan State, Kansas State, I think this game is fascinating because, you know, not a lot of us expected either of these teams to be here. Number did get out to 2. We saw a little bit of money coming on Kansas State. Tough to adjust with an earlier tip-off, 6:30 Eastern at Madison Square Garden. We've seen some of the comments from the coaches talking about how slick the balls were, how overinflated. I'm interested to see if that changes some of the scoring out there. But an interesting nugget when you try and encapsulate what we saw through the first 4 days of the tournament, the rash of unders dominated on Thursday and Friday. And this year right now is on track to feature the worst three-point shooting in the history of the NCAA tournament, with teams making just 31.2% from deep through the first two rounds. Last year actually broke the record, and that was a little bit better at 31.8%. But the one thing, when you get deeper into the tournament, the intensity cranks up, the nerves and all of that. So if shots aren't going down, we could see some unders come home to roost, knowing that a lot of these teams more than capable taking care of the ball in the defensive end.
You know what the funny thing about doing Bet the Board podcast was?
What?
That you were the best dressed jumping on the show and you still didn't get to see Payne Insider's face when we recorded on Skype earlier this morning?
Yeah, that too. He's like, what's that guy from Usual Suspects?
Kaiser Soze?
Yeah, that's how Payne is. Payne is like Kaiser Soze, dog. Like, you just can't never find him. I never see him. It's weird.
We went to Tin Roof with these guys. He's in there in aviators.
And I don't even know if he was really there. I don't know if that was really him. We never really got to see if it was him. All we know is it was Todd.
He loved your college stories that you can't tell.
He did. This is my thing, though. I like numbers, guys, and analytics and all that is cool. But I love when I talk about the game. And it adds up, and I got to see that today. So that was really, really cool. Because I can't wait to listen. I'm gonna see what I see, and you know, eye test type of guy. So appreciate that, Todd Father.
Thanks for coming on. And I think, Slay, you bring up an excellent point, and it's one of the things that we talk about all the time in sports betting, where if you can find the intersection of the eye test and the metrics matching up and figuring out the little nuances there, whether it's college basketball, college football, the NFL, or any of the other sports that are out there, that's where you find the best way to be able to make money, because there are a variety of bettors that just bet off of what they see with their eyes. There are a ton of bettors who just look at teams as numbers on a spreadsheet, and you can have tremendous amount of success doing both of those if you trust your process and you're putting in the time. But when you find that perfect intersection of both and go, you know what, the eye test matches up with the metrics, the betting market doesn't reflect that, well, that's the time to try and jump in with both feet and take a little bit more liability on a game or two when all things line up together.
All right, check out the Bet the Board podcast. Rate, review, subscribe, download it, and listen to Slay Dog break down the SEC and Todd Furman and Payne Insider and the whole family. Thank you, Todd. Good
hey,
stuff.
Hey, man. Real quick on the way out.
Oh, John, you're there on a Wednesday. I wasn't sure if you were there. It was your body double that was going. I didn't hear you this whole block, so go ahead.
Lamar Jackson, odds he'll be a Tennessee Titan. Where are you?
I mean, I know Titans fans would love that, but quite frankly, they won't be happy with my answer. If you're going through a rebuild, tear it all down and build it back up. The last thing you want to do is handcuff yourself with a $50 million annual salary to a quarterback like Lamar Jackson when you don't have the pieces on the roster to surround him. You guys were just talking about Hendon Hooker coming in. I mean, what? It doesn't hurt if Hendon Hooker continues to slide in the draft and you allow him to rehab for a year in the system and it's a low-risk pick there in that particular spot. Maybe that's the kind of player that you look for in the Titans. You know you're not going to win this season. And while it's hard for fans to hear that, there's nothing worse than being stuck in NFL purgatory. Either be the best and find that franchise quarterback, or be at the bottom, draft in the top five for a couple of years, and then have something to crow about, you know, a couple of years down the road.
Yep, we always talk about that in the socialistic NFL system. All right, Todd, you'd be surprised to know, we brought Lamar Jackson up, and most people that we heard from do not want him.
I mean, honestly, it's a credit to the Titans fan base. I mean, I know Kevin Byard, Don, you put out that poll the other day, and I know we're going long here, so I apologize. You know, it's a question of a premium position. If no one else is willing to pay a guy $14 million like the Titans are, why would you not cut him and try and bring him back on a restructured deal to figure things out? And I think that's always the hardest part, because fans fall in love with certain players, and oftentimes that's not consistent with doing things the right way for the franchise or being able to win long term. Just ask Philly fans who sat on players like Ryan Howard, Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins and company, long after that nostalgic World Series run was there, and it took them a long, long time to get back to the World Series because they didn't cut bait early enough.
See you, Todd.
Be a good guest.
Thanks, Furman.
All right, Todd, Bob.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.